Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, we've got to get going. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. This platform right here, the Industrial Talk platform, is dedicated to you, you industry hero. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly. You innovate like nobody's business, and you're changing the world, and you're changing lives. Tell me why we don't celebrate you. Tell me. I'm sitting here. Doggone it. All right. In the hot seat today, we've got a great interview with a gentleman by the name of James Upton. Comes from Ergon. And you know what we're going to be talking about? You're going to say, Scott, you're going to whine a little. No. We're talking about safety science. Safety frickin' science with James Upton. So let's get cracking. So anyway, listeners, here's the deal. We are all, and we've got to be about safety, right? And you can say, this safety. No, this stuff is dead sexy, man. This stuff is dead frickin' sexy because there's some real great innovation that is coming around as a result of safety, and that it is going to, once again, save lives, prevent accidents, and once again, about family, communities, it just touches every aspect of your life. And that's why James is on the podcast. Hey, James, how you doing?
Good. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. Just so the listeners out there, we're using a product called Riverside FM. And, you've heard me complain and then maybe complain a little bit more. Here's a product that allows us to be able to do it real time, in a sense, and be able to create these podcasts and without a compression related issues. Now you're saying to yourself, Scott, I don't understand what you're saying. Just know that it sounds better. How's that? All right, James, for the listeners out there, let's sort of level set. Let's get a little bit of background on who James is. Again, a little 411, outside of the fact that we go to the same barber, and he's dead sexy when it comes to that hair, or lack of. How you doing, my friend? Let's get going. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, it grows from the ears down, so we're...
it only gets worse.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you right now. You're not that old. Wait till you get my age, and then everything else is like, wow.
Yeah,
that hair is aggressive.
Yeah, hey, that new setup you got though, getting on the podcast, is really cool. It's really easy, step by step, man. I really liked it.
There's always an education, just like anything else. Pre-virus, pre-pandemic, people were struggling to get on Zoom. Now, in the post-pandemic world, whatever this new world we live in, everybody knows how to get on Zoom. And now I'm just shifting gears on the Riverside.fm, but we'll figure it out.
Thank you, bro.
Because we're resilient. All right. Background, baby.
Yeah, so I'm from originally from Oklahoma. I've kind of made my way around the country working in different facets of the oil and gas industry and heavy construction. So I started out as an iron worker, working from the neck down for wages. But it's the one thing I'm most proud of. I loved the hard work. I love being out there and working with my hands on, and that's really where my heart is. And that's really where I get a lot of my passion and drive for what I do for safety, because I've been out there in the trenches. I've been the guy who's been asked to do things that I wasn't really comfortable with doing. And I've also been the guy who's made the mistake and been like, man, I didn't really mean to make that mistake. And I knew I didn't mean to make that mistake. So that's kind of helped form my background. And now I currently live in Jackson, Mississippi, and I work for a great company, Ergon. We do all kinds of interesting stuff. It's a wide variety that I get exposed to. I mean, we got boats that we're working with. We got trucks. We got refineries. We got asphalt. It's a very wide array of hazardous energy that's in our environment that we have to work really hard to take control of.
You got a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
I mean, and that to me is challenging. And that's pretty cool. That's a great summary of who James is. But when you were doing iron work, were you climbing I-beams and all that stuff?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's all the whole part of it. That's what I loved about it, the physical part of it. I grew up wrestling, right? So I'm kind of got that that wrestler attitude, and there's a bunch of competition with a bunch of iron workers. So it was definitely right up my alley. It was fun.
Oh yeah, I gotta ask a question real quick. When I was a lineman, journeyman lineman, and we were building towers and all that good stuff, it's with the towers at least you got. It's a climbability. You got all that lattice work, right? And I can climb and do everything. And you're just all, it's like one big monkey. Don't go out there and climb those towers. Don't do that. However, it's like you got plenty of things to hold on to. Steelworking, you got an I-beam.
Yeah, you're shoving your foot in that wedge and just trying to get up
yeah.
there. There's not a lot to hold on to.
No, there isn't. Even I know that. Even I would be wrestling with it and going, oh, my gosh, check it out.
When I first started as an apprentice, I was a lot lighter than when I ended up being a journeyman. So I could actually climb them a lot easier when I was an apprentice than when I became a journeyman. So a little harder, got a little extra.
That's when you say,
center of my
gravity. Hey, pup, get up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Pumpkin. Yeah, that's exactly it. They call you pumpkin for sure.
They called me Grunt.
Yeah, they called me.
All right, let's talk a little bit about safety science. Level set for the listeners out there.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? It seems like a broad category, but can you sort of define it a little bit, safety science? And then we'll talk about the innovation, and then we'll talk about where to go from there.
Yeah, really, it's, I guess, trying to take a model from what's already worked out there. I mean, we've kind of seen the same approach in the pharmaceutical industry where you've got the academics who are the ones out there, and they've got the research capabilities, and they know how to get the right answers. And then you've got industry who's got the need, and they've got all the money, but they don't necessarily have the right stuff that these guys have. And so really bringing the two together, bringing academics and practitioners together, and forming coalitions, us telling the academics what they need to research, and then them telling us what works and what doesn't work. And so there's been a really great kind of petri dish forming at the University of Colorado where a lot of this work is happening across industry. So it's a really neat space to be in these days.
When you start talking about the petri dish, I mean, it really requires a lot of collaboration. I mean, you have people in the field, and because I've been in the field, you've been in the field, they know what's going on. There is a recognition that, hey, this is hazardous, got to be. I mean, there is a safety mindset. Do you find this academic type of approach with the people in the field? Are you seeing more collaboration to work for greater solutions?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so like you said, I mean, workers out there, you know, I might argue a little bit that don't necessarily know always what they're seeing, and I would say that's what science is telling us, and that's where the safety science comes
in. Interesting.
And that's where this approach called energy-based hazard recognition kind of had its genesis, and it's basically recognizing that human beings have a lot going on in our daily environment. There's so many stimuluses coming in, and it's one of those things like when you get in your car and you drive home and you end up in the driveway, you know, like you don't really know how you got there, but yet you did all kinds of like complex risk and motor analysis and you got there, right? Well, it's the same thing in a job site. When you go out there and you're asking people to do things, a lot of times they just go in autopilot, and we're only recognizing hazards that we have really our senses for, basic senses for, so like motion and gravity. We have basic primal senses for that, but it's those higher level hazards like electrical and pressure, just to name a few, that we don't really necessarily have a sense for, that takes a separate part of our brain to recognize. And so what the science, what we did as industry is we were always checking this box, failed to recognize hazard. And so then we came to the academics and we said, hey, why do we always have fail to recognize hazard as a root cause analysis? And then they took that and they started looking at, well, how does the brain work? What's the psychology of it? What's the physiology of it? How do you actually see the world? And that's where the safety science part is really starting to come to fruition.
See, I think that's really interesting because you're absolutely correct. You go to a lot of these organizations around the country, whatever, safety, and safety is important. Don't get me wrong. And it has to be an elevated conversation for all to have, right? But what companies got into is like, hey, all right, for recognition, we're going to place this poster right up against the wall and say, safety, look, you know, and trying to create awareness that way. But then when they would leave, go through the door to their work, they don't remember that poster. Why is that? Why is that the case? Why do we humans want to cut corners?
You know, I think it's a lot to do. There's a lot of context that goes into that. You know, I mean, I guess, you know, when I drove to work this morning, I didn't drive the speed limit. And I don't really think I was trying to cut corners. I guess technically I was cutting a corner. I was going a little faster than I should have, and I left the house a little later than I should have. So I was, you know, cutting a corner. But in the moment, I was just getting to work, right? And that's how workers view their day as they go through the work. It's not this linear thing. It's this very complex performance boundary that has all these different touch points that only the worker can see. And so we think because we put a poster up there, that was the touch point that we saw back there in the office. But we didn't see all these other things, these production schedule, environmental issues that are pushing the performance boundary for the worker. And that's why, you know, we have to, if you think the poster is working and you're seeing it's not, it's because you're not going down and asking the worker what does work. If that kind of ties together and makes sense.
No, it does. But do you think that there's a sense of numbness that also... And I don't have an answer. I've been there, done that. And we have these meetings, and we talk about safety, and we talk about this. And is it truly resonating, or is it just sort of noise that we're just sort of, here's the safety section of our tailgate?
Yeah. No, and definitely. I would say that I hope that my safety program doesn't look that way, but... Because I know, because I've sat through those. I know what you're getting at. I've been there too. The guy sitting there is like, all right, yeah. And you know, a lot of that is just has to do with the delivery. You know what I mean? But it's also
that's
culture.
A good point.
Yeah, it's also a lot of your culture. And interestingly enough, they're part of the CSRA. We've developed a very rigorous scorecard and guideline. For effective leadership engagements. So having effective leadership engagements, talking safety in the field and doing it in a meaningful way. So there's two ways you can measure things, right? You can measure frequency and you can measure quality. And so when you're only measuring frequency and it's like, okay, we got to have this safety meeting every day and we got to do it all the time. And it just kind of does that noise and it just hums out.
I'm telling you, it does.
That's because you're not doing it good. I'd rather you do... You know, one safety meeting a month, really good, really good. And I got this sitting on my desk. I know people at home can't see it, but this is a fake hand.
Yeah, they can. It's good. There's a video. If you're out on video, you can see this fake hand.
Yeah.
It looks a little creepy,
this
by
fake
the
hand
way.
Is something, one of these things that I'm talking about that engages people. And this is a fake, it's a hand made out of ballistic gel. It's got dowel rods in here that have the same breaking strength as bones. It's even got a spot here you can put blood into it and squirt blood.
It is creepy.
Yeah, so if I did this, I'd rather take this fake handout and show people why they need to use the right type of glove and keep their hands out of mechanical energies and really impact them, because that's what the research says. If you show them something impactful, their future risk assessment will be different, which is what we want. We're going to impact them in the future. So if you do something meaningful and fun and do quality instead of quantity, you get rid of that kind of like...
Isn't that interesting? Fun.
And that's something that's coming out of the research about leading indicators. It's more about the quality than the quantity.
See, I like that. You mentioned briefly CSRA. That's an acronym for something. What does it stand for?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so it's the Construction Safety Research Alliance. And that's head up by Dr. Matthew Hallowell at the University of Colorado. And it's a collaboration with a lot of industry giants from all over.
Yeah, that is pretty doggone cool. And you're absolutely right. And it doesn't just and because we're talking about safety, we're talking about the science of safety and all of that good stuff and the innovation that's coming down the turnpike. And we're going to be talking a little bit about those points. But I think you're absolutely spot on when we start talking about. There's a point. If I'm coming at you with a tsunami of just, you know, safety stuff, whoa, here we go, jump on board. People are just, they're just naturally going to go numb. They're just naturally going to have some challenges associated with that. But when you start talking about quality, truly impactful quality, but that requires you to think, mm-hmm. right? It requires you to dedicate your time. But the science has proven out that it is better to have a good quality you know, conversation as opposed to a quantity.
Yeah.
And boy, did we get in, we definitely get into a quantity type of thing.
Yeah.
Steel-toed boots, do this, do that, long sleeve, that. And you just sit there and it is, it's numbing.
Well, it's, just, it's the wrong thing to focus on, right? And that's, it, and yeah. Going back to the data and the science, OSHA recordable rates have been going down steadily since we've been recording them. I mean, there's a steady decrease. But what hasn't been decreasing and what hasn't been going down in the same rate is fatality rates. And they've actually slightly increased
yes.
over the last several years. And so by going out there and saying steel-toe boots, safety glasses, that, this, that, and the other thing, when the worker hears you say that, they don't take you seriously because they say, yeah, guy, well, this stuff over here that can kill me, why aren't we talking about that? Right,
yeah.
So you lose a lot of credibility when you don't focus on, here's another acronym, the sticky, the stuff that can kill you. So I don't know if this is a G shell or not, but you know, if you're a lineman or a iron worker, you might replace that S with something else. But it's the sticky, the stuff that can kill you, and that's the high energy stuff that causes the most damaging things to our bodies, and those are the things that we want to talk about, and that's the quality. That's the quality piece.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because when I was a lineman, I wouldn't be able to do it now just because, well, I'm fat and old. But when I wasn't fat and old, we'd always joke about how gravity becomes a bit more powerful as you climb that tower, and you're able to you're in tune with a lot more safety stuff. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that can kill you up there,
mm-hmm.
and you're just razor focused, right, on those items. No ifs, ands, or buts. And it's not even that. Your partner, whoever that journeyman is, he's also laser focused because they don't want to. You just it just works out that way.
Yeah.
And you might, you know, the accidents that would happen, or you know, dumb stuff of picking up something heavy and I threw my back out, right? Things
yeah.
like that. But rarely. I mean, super duper rarely did anybody ever climb a tower and fall. It never happened.
Well, same like with us ironworking. Everybody usually walked off a building instead of fell off of it. You know, when they're decking, it's they just
true.
Walk right off the back of it.
Yeah, that is in line with exactly what you're talking about. Now, you mentioned a couple of things, and we're going to go there this point by point.
Yeah.
Define energy-based hazard recognition.
Okay. Yeah, so this is something I really like. This is one of my favorite things to talk about. So the elevator conversation,
I kind of bet you people just like, here comes yeah. Josh, and he's going to be talking about that.
I kind of touched on it a little bit about the different the ways your brain works. And
right.
Essentially, this research produced two technologies. The first technology is an energy icon. And basically, there's 10 energies in our environment that cause damage to our bodies, which are injuries. So every injury is the result of an energy contact. And so you've got these different energies in your job site. And the idea is to use this simple icon wheel. And it's just a circle that has 10 icons that represent the different hazards, the different energies in our environment.
Hold on. Give me an example of an energy hazard, because I'm you know where I'm going. I'm going down the road of, oh yeah, don't touch that wire.
Yeah, so you would say, okay, so gravity, right? Gravity is an energy. Motion
yes.
is an energy. Mechanical, electrical, pressure, sound, radiation, biological, which is a big one now. We really didn't recognize biological hazards too much before. Chemical
yeah.
and temperature. So these are all hazards in our environment that are energies in our environment that can cause injuries. And what's interesting about the wheel, as you look at 12 o'clock, that's where gravity is. And as you go around the wheel clockwise, you start to notice that these energies become less and less sensible. You have less and less senses for them. So like electrical, like you don't have a sense for electricity. You don't know it's electrically charged until you touch it, right? Pressure, you gotta have a gauge on a pressure, on a pressure vessel to know it's under pressure.
Wow.
Like temperature, you know, like you don't know something's hot just by looking at it, you gotta touch it and it's too late by then. So the idea is to use our brains the way that it was made. And when you use this icon, this wheel, and you're in your environment, it makes your brain stop and use that higher process order part of it that you usually want to skip over and recognize these different hazards you don't have senses for. And the research showed that the average person before the intervention could only do 45% of hazards in their environment. With the intervention, it increased it up to 85%. And I've seen market increase as well, just in my introduction.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's significant.
And it's two technologies. It's icons and vocabulary. By just simply changing the word hazard to energy, you're thinking like a worker. Because a hazard to me is different than it is to you. So there's this guy at my work that we go out walking around the pond in the back here, and one day there was a snake out there, and he just walked right up to it, picked it up, and moved it. Like, to me, that is a big hazard. Like, I don't like snakes. I walk around them. But Steve, nope, not a hazard to Steve. He liked the snake. So that's the same thing. He has different life experiences and different perspectives. He knows what a hazardous snake looks like, and I don't. So hazards are different to different people because of their life experience. But an energy?
Wow.
Energy, gravity is gravity, no matter if you're Scott, James, or Steve, or, you know, it's always gravity. Electrical is always electrical. So you kind of take some of that the abstractness out of a word and give the worker something they can actually see.
See, doesn't it ever just surprise you that you know, we've been in industry for many, 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 many years, right? And we've had just nonstop focus on safety, and something as simple as changing the term hazard to energy, something as simple as that is groundbreaking. That changes that mindset, that shifts that focus to something that is far more important.
I would say this, that to your listeners, any industrial leader out there that's in a position to that talks about hazards or anything, you can do this by just simply changing that one word in your vocabulary, in your organization. You will see a huge difference. That's 50% of the technology, right? Just the word. And that's where I've always had the most success is when I'm interacting with people to try to get them to understand the concept. They don't really have to know the science and why and all this stuff. I just start saying energy. Hey, yeah, that mechanical energy, that electrical energy. And you start doing that, and then they start picking up on it. And that's it. Like, that's now you're looking for energy instead of hazard. What's a hazard? I don't know, but I do know what an energy is because I've got a wheel to show you.
Yeah, and this came out of the efforts that are taking place in the University of Colorado.
Yeah, through the
CSRA.
CSRA and Dr. Hollowell. Yeah, and it's actually this technology that he's had is really what's. It's really the way the industry is going. It's not, I mean, it may be new to some listeners, but a lot of major industrial companies are using this. And not only that, but like it's getting brought into the future technology, safety technologies, just the concept and some of the different programs and softwares and AI algorithms that are out there using this concept to help with the safety professional of the future.
See, and I don't think we can sit here and underestimate and understate the importance of this. I mean, I just one of the things that I want to talk about, because you're this is cool stuff. Don't get me wrong, I love it. Always gets down to people too. Are you with the slight definition of hazard versus energy and all of that, whatever that lexicon change? It all gets down to people. It all gets down to leadership. It all gets down to, are you seeing a greater engagement in that area of leadership?
Yeah, and that's actually, if I have, you know, obviously energy-based hazard recognition, I love that tool. But as far as like leadership within safety, that's the best predictor of safety performance is how engaged your leadership is. And at Ergon, that's one of our values. And we have, you know, Mr. Lampton, our legacy here, had style of engagement that, I mean, you remembered him. When we were talking, you remembered Mr. Lampton's engagement. And that's one of the things that makes Ergon such a great place to work and such a productive place. And the workers here want to be safe. It's because our leadership engages with us constantly. They have, especially through the pandemic, we've been communicated with constantly. And that has really shown a step change over the last 3 years in our safety performance here at Ergon. So the leadership is definitely like it's the key ingredient. And then it's understanding that workers aren't the problem to be solved, but they are the the people who can solve the problem, if that makes sense. They're not the problem.
Yeah, it does.
They're the problem solvers.
And you have to engage them. It has to be that collaboration effort. I mean, it just does.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy the fact that you talk, whether we like it or not, we get lazy, and we do. And I like the fact that we pointed out some really interesting solutions and true engagement when it comes to the recognition. And I like the energy component. It makes sense to me, because when I was climbing, yeah, don't touch that. You just knew what was important and what wasn't important.
Yeah.
And I think that that's important. And I like the fact that you guys are collaborating in that area too. I don't know, man. It's a brave new world out there.
Yeah, it's exciting to be a part of. It really is.
And we just scratched the surface. We ran out of time. We've just scratched the surface. We didn't even talk about AI.
Oh, man.
And the analytics associated with data and how it can make you safer. And, I mean, this is cool stuff.
Yeah. Exciting stuff.
You listeners out there. This
is boring safety guy stuff.
Yeah, you know as well as I do. When you see the safety guy walk into a conference room,
yeah.
You know what it is. You've been there, done that. Fortunately, you were a former.
I chose
But
my
you
path.
Climbed the. You did. You're like, oh, here he is. He's going to be talking about energy-based hazard recognition.
Yeah.
Oh, he's insufferable sometimes. All right, listeners out there. Hey, you active out there on LinkedIn there, James?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, check me out on LinkedIn, James Upton, Jr. I'm a junior.
Okay. As always, we're going to be able to have all of the contact information for James Upton, Jr., mm-hmm. Ergon's company. And I'm going to also have all the contact information, or at least information that's associated with the CSRA. I want to be able to have that as a resource out there on industrialtalk.com. James, you're awesome.
You're awesome.
Love what you guys are doing at Ergon and what you're doing from a professional perspective. I think it's a bright future. Safe future, but a bright future nonetheless, and you just keep on hammering at it, my friend.
Well,
all right, listeners, we're going to be wrapping it up. Thank you very much. You know as well as I do, go out to industrialtalk.com, find out all the contact information from James Upton and everything in between. It's going to all be out there. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast, and we're going to be back with another great conversation shortly.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.